thee. Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory give. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. O come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Appreciate again some Christmas songs coming out here again. Christmas celebration. Let's open our Bibles this morning. I think today is like the 11th of December. Luke, book of Luke, praise the Lord. And chapter 24, Luke chapter 24. Appreciate again as we celebrate the birth of Messiah, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we have these scriptures of why He came in our mind, and who He was, and what He came for, and that's part of your worship and celebration in this month of December. I have, again, the scriptures we want to look at. In PowerPoint presentation, and we're going back and following again along with the if I can find my clicker, we'll go ahead again and follow along through some scriptures that talk about the prophecy. We had covered again the Advent candles before. There's a prophecy candle, a Bethlehem candle, a shepherd's candle, an angel's candle again. And I've used them, although I'm not Catholic or Protestant, I've used them again to follow through just the sequence of teachings that we have through this Christmas time. And appreciate again that we could begin here today looking at the prophecy of Christ's coming. And let's jump right to the heart of the matter here in Luke and chapter 24. We'll start there in verse 36 for our text. Beverly and I were in Bethlehem just a month ago again. And appreciate again that we celebrated a little bit of Christmas there. But all these things just jump off the page all the more for us, having been in the footprints of Jesus, as it were, having seen again the fields where the shepherds watched their flock by night. They did that again, as we said the other day, in the springtime, not in the dead of winter. So we understand that as we celebrate the birth of Jesus here in December, it kind of breaks up our freezing cold winters, I hope, and encourages our heart. That God has a purpose and a plan, and He's executing it here. And so let's go ahead and begin our reading here in Luke and chapter 24. And as we do that, I appreciate so much the account that God has given us and the accuracy of it. Luke chapter 24, let's stand for the reading of God's Word, if you would. And the Bible says in Luke 24, starting in verse 36, "And as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you." Verse 38 says, "Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me hath. Verse 41, have ye here any meat, he said. Verse 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Look at verse 46. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for its truths, and thank you, Father, as we look at the many promises you gave and fulfilled to the letter, yea, to the jot and tittle of the letter. And Father, I'll praise you again and thank you as we would be students of your word, that you bless again as we would look at your promise for a Redeemer. Father, praise you again and thank you that we could own that Redeemer, that he could again move inside of us, make us a new creature. Father, that we could have a celebration of Christmas this year that would cause again that our hearts would be changed and enlightened, our witness would be challenged and burdened, and Father, that you'd again just bless each home, each family, each individual, even as we'd worship on this day. We'll give you the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. If you, I did have a copy of this online. I took it down. Some of the pictures, it turns out, were copyright. But if you do want a copy of that, I can use it even with the copyright stuff for ministry here. It's just that I can't publish it on the web page, as near as my understanding is. And so, again, if you want a copy of that, if you yell, I'll email a copy. It comes on, it's a PDF file, comes on your phone. And these phones that we have nowadays, it's kind of an amazing thing. And so, I was going to teach off of my phone, but that's got even tinier print than my pad here. So let's go ahead and look at these scriptures. These are scriptures, again, from Scofield, and I have a reference in the back of this presentation of all of the scriptures that Scofield had of the first Advent. C.I. Scofield broke his chain references out into first Advent, second Advent, and then again the events around the second coming of Christ. And so as we look at the events predicted in the first Advent, it's exciting again to understand them to the point that we could rejoice in exactly why Jesus come. Not just the manger, not just the birth in Bethlehem, but the whole portrayal that's given of why the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. In the light of that, Beverly and I sat down and read this morning the book of Hebrews in our Bible reading schedule. And I'd like to read a little poem to you. It's Hebrews chapter 1, and I consider it poetry. It might not rhyme or have rhythm or meter, but it does, again, constitute some good poetry of thought. And so Hebrews chapter 1 says this: God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The Christmas message is indeed found in the book of Hebrews. I've preached it a couple times from Hebrews again, but what a marvelous introduction to who he was. It goes on to say in verse 4, being made so much better than angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten unto the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, and of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. And so as we read here the book of Hebrews, it talks about an announcement of so great salvation and a tremendous introduction again to why the Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth. And as we look at that, it says, one of these verses here, it says, said unto God, even my God. Isn't it curious that God, born in the flesh, called God the Father, God, my God. And that's the human side of God, made flesh and dwelt among us. And he, at that point, with his finite birth, had a heavenly Father that he addressed as his Father. And so, again, just looking at these things ought to make us marvel all the more. And so I want to run through a bunch of scriptures here of the promise of the Messiah. And we'll still go ahead and start in Genesis chapter 3 in verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It says, it shall bruise thy head. It doesn't say he, it says it. And so here's a reference to the seed of woman. And again, this seed is what is going to bruise Satan's head. It is the virgin-born Messiah. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee, Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so we see the beginning of a seed line progression. And God, through the Old Testament, follows in Bible prophecy a seed line of where the Messiah will be born from. We've said much about that in our preaching on Christmas. And again, want to emphasize that God didn't, again, have all that nailed down from the beginning. You remember, again, that some unsavory sorts crawled into that seed line. And so, again, notice again that what a tremendous thing to follow the seed line. It continues on in John 17, 19. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. It says that again, speaking of the seed of Abraham. And notice again that that promise is given in such a way that we can see Abraham, if you went, he went to a mountain called Moriah in Jerusalem. Beverly and I stood on that mountaintop this past month. And there he offered, listen, he offered his only begotten son as an offering. And when, again, God stopped him from making that offering, that tremendous portrayal of what God was going to do, the Bible says Abraham was asked to offer his only begotten son as a sacrifice. And he said, my son, remember when his son Isaac said, where's the sacrifice? Here's what Abraham said. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. What a tremendous translation we have in the King James English. Genesis chapter 24, we find Rebekah is given a salutation and a heralding when she marries. Thou art our sister, they said. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those that hate them. Again, we find a fulfilled prophecy right there that God would indeed have his seed possess that gate. Genesis 28 goes on, And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families be blessed. Romans chapter 28 goes on right there, and it says, and behold, I am with thee. It's speaking now to Jacob. Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Verse 16 says, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Genesis chapter 49, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Now we find the promise is narrowed down to Judah. The seed line is narrowed down to Judah. And it says, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. These, again, references seem vague, but we know that the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, remember on the disciples on the Emmaus Road, he taught them all scriptures that pointed to him. Doubtless he had a list that looks similar to this one assembled by a great Bible scholar. But notice here again that Shiloh, that word means he whose it is, that which belongs to him, and it also means tranquility. And so those are promises that are made. We know of David in 2 Samuel 7:16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. This morning we already looked at Mary's annunciation, where she was told by Gabriel that she would be with child, and the same promise was emphasized that it would be, his kingdom would be forever. Praise the Lord. And so we see these promises given. And then when we look at Psalms chapter 2, I love Psalms chapter 2 as a beginning point of all Bible prophecy. It speaks there again, why do the heathen rage? And boy, the heathen are still raging. And again, notice it says, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Make sure we have that outlined in our verse, underlined in our Bible again. And if you have a phone Bible, you got my sympathy, you can't underline it there. But again, make a note that that's speaking about the Messiah, thine anointed. And so there in Psalms chapter 2, you have an announcement of the world gathered against God and his anointed. And sure enough, it still is today. Again, you read down through that tremendous psalm, and you find there also an announcement that he is my only begotten Son. Psalm 16:10 also says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. The Messiah dies and goes to hell, and for your sin that he dies and goes there. But God raises him on the third day. These are promises that the disciples really didn't understand. Remember when he told that to Peter, Peter denied and rebuked the Lord for even saying such a thing. And so again, we find that the promise was given. And here it says that, and it's an interesting thing, when you die, your body and your soul and spirit are separated. Your soul and spirit go to your Father, the Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But again, here, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible's pretty clear that his soul went to hell. We got several verses that reference that. His body went to the grave. His spirit, remember from the cross, he says, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And so we see that distinction of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at Psalms chapter 22, again, a tremendous prophetic psalm that speaks of the death, the crucifixion, the death of the Messiah. Again, these things didn't make sense, again, to a lot. We're looking for the king to come, but the Messiah was, again, to come to die. In fact, in Psalms chapter 22, he is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, according to John 10:11, gives his life for the sheep. He did that. Psalms 23, he is the great shepherd. And he gives us peace through his blood, it says in Hebrews 13. And then in Psalms chapter 24, Psalms 22, Psalms 23, and Psalms 24, all precious, precious psalms. And I trust they're familiar to you, as we've touched on that theme several times here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. In Psalms 24, he is the chief shepherd, and he shall soon appear, according to 1 Peter chapter 5. And so we see again the Bible prophecy of his coming. It goes on through the Psalm, Psalm 69:21, and they gave me also gall for meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. In Psalms 118, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Let me go ahead and say that man is still stumbling over that cornerstone. Man does not believe. Man does not comprehend. A natural man has no idea, again, how to celebrate Christmas. I listed there several verses that talk about that stumbling stone and the fact, again, that we can see him through faith to be who he is. And then, of course, we have Isaiah chapter 7, where it speaks again, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." There in the Hebrew, what that means is, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. In Matthew, in the Greek, it says, a virgin shall bear a son. And so we have the teaching of the virgin birth. And from Genesis chapter 3, talking about the seed of woman, all the way through the Bible. We talked Wednesday night about whether it's essential to believe the virgin birth to be saved. And I think we concluded pretty solidly that all you need to be believed to be saved is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and took your place. And if you'll call on him, he'll save you. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I've put together again and put it in one of my journals that I'm putting together this week, two verses tied together, and they are this out of Isaiah 53, verse 6. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to our own way. And God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And then Romans 10, 9 and 10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That's what it takes for salvation. And you can be totally ignorant of everything else in the Bible. But again, when you understand that and you call upon him, he's promised to save your soul from the condemnation that it's deserving of, and to save you and give you eternal life. But again, as we read the scriptures, we find again some solid teachings about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who he was and what all he did. Isaiah chapter 9 goes on, a very familiar portion for us again. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Isaiah chapter 28, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion again for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that buildeth shall not make haste." And so we find again the Bible prophecy continues of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus rehearses a prophecy in Matthew chapter 12, and that prophecy is found in Isaiah 42. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause the voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. A bruised reed is something you'd throw away. Smoking flax is, again, when it's used for a wick and a lamp. Once it's burnt, we throw it away. But praise the Lord, there's a verse that says, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he don't throw us away, even though when we're deserving of it. It goes on in Isaiah 49. Listen, O isles, unto me, and heaven, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. We can go on with that whole chapter and understand some tremendous truths again about the Bible prophecy of the coming Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 5 and 6. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid my face from the shame and spitting. We are now again, at least I am, writing as my journal and journaling our visit to Gethsemane that we did last month. And oh, to be in the Garden of Gethsemane, to understand again that his time of prayer, that this cup may pass from me, to understand the soldiers that come in led by Judas, and again to see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ betrayed and taken to be crucified. Isaiah 52 says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. I always said that Isaiah 53 actually begins in chapter 52 with that description of the servant. I had just read for you here a verse out of Isaiah 53, but this tremendous, tremendous portrayal. This is so vivid an explanation of the coming Messiah. It's such an assured assignment that he would die for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the world, that it is forbidden reading. The rabbis forbid that a Jew would read this for fear they come to an understanding that the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross in Calvary, he was indeed the Messiah that came for the salvation of the world. What a tremendous psalm. Again, and I'd encourage you to be familiar with Isaiah 53, all 12 verses. Isaiah chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. I want you to consider this psalm. In Luke chapter 4, we find Jesus went to the temple, and as his custom was in the synagogue where he grew up, as his custom was, he took the scroll and he read this portion of scripture right here. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. It continues on in Luke chapter 4. Out to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19 in that chapter, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he stops right there. It says in verse 20, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. What a tremendous portrayal of the difference between the first coming and the second coming of Christ. The first advent and the second advent of Christ. The fact that he would stop reading at that point again and understand that the part he stopped at, the next portion in the book of Isaiah in chapter 61 would say, "And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn." Listen, that was omitted when Jesus read that portion of Scripture there in that synagogue. Because again, that's part of the second coming. The vengeance that God's going to pour out on this world is going to be through His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 9 continues on as we look at more Bible prophecy. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 72 weeks. We celebrate the coming, the visiting Magi, the We Three Kings account. We don't know that there was three kings. We know they brought three gifts and suspect there were. And so again, those kings that came because they had the book of Daniel. They had, again, the prophecy that told when he was expected, when he was to be born. And they likely did not have the prophecy that was written by Micah years later that told again that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. So the scholars, the kings, came from the east to worship the newborn king. And we find again that they had a Bible to send them on that journey. Yeah, they had a star, but they were not followers of astrology and superstition. And they were not star worshipers. They indeed had a copy of the Scriptures. And Daniel 9 told them when to look for this Messiah, the Prince, and when he would show up after the decree went out that they could go back to the Promised Land. Hosea chapter 2, "And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God." Welcome Gentiles into the kingdom of God. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting." In Haggai 2:7, "And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." Zechariah 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass." Zechariah continues, "And it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock had waited upon me, knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, If ye think good, give me my price. And if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver." Zechariah 13:7, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." Malachi chapter 3. We just looked through Malachi a little bit last week. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple." And he did. In Acts, we find again an overview of all the things, again, about this Bible prophecy. But I would have us that we not miss the fact that he came just as it was told of him. He was born in just the place he was to be born. And all things were fulfilled that we could have a Savior born who is Christ the Lord. Father, praise you. Thank you for these scriptures. We've just glanced at a few of them, and it thrills our heart to know again, Father, that you would send your only begotten Son to die on a cross, to be our Savior. And Father, we'll praise you now and thank you for our worship. Thank you again for what you did for us. Go with us now into this week and cause again, Father, that we have a thrill of serving you, of being your witnesses, of having opportunity to lift up your name. We love you. We worship you in this hour and praise you for your holiness. Thank you in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing as we dismiss. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. 111 or so. What is it? 117. 117 in the handbook. Thank you. O little town of Bethlehem. Let's stand and we'll dismiss with a song. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep and angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. Lord bless you for worshiping today, and Lord bless you as you step into this new week. And drive careful headed home.